Anybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win? I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
Oh man, my name's Chris Lambert.
I said that like a guy in a trailer, like in a world.
Yeah, you got movies on your mind, man.
Yep. I'm future trailer voiceover guy Travis Bean, and today we are talking about, I'm just going to say it, I don't like to throw out too many controversial opinions on this show. I like to stick to the mainstream and please everybody, but I'm just going to do it. Bring Me Down is one of Kanye's most underrated songs.
Yeah, I think so. And we underrated it severely our first time through the discography.
I would agree. I feel like this song just has a strange, I don't know, it gives off this impression that it's not a very consequential track. Like, it only has one verse from Kanye. It's not that long. It's mostly Brandy. Like, it isn't a true Kanye song. But I don't know. I think Kanye's got his is written all over this, and just especially the way it flows into the album and all the themes and everything. Like, this song carries so much importance and meaning.
Yeah, I think our criticism the first time around, or at least my criticism the first time that we covered Late Registration, is that because we were viewing the album as more of just like Kanye making some thoughtful songs rather than it having that much of a theme or intercontextuality between songs, Bring Me Down just felt one-dimensionally braggadocious mm-hmm. and almost repetitive to some of the things that we had heard him say right. already in terms of like his rapping ability, his prowess, his prominence. But I even think like that assessment, not even under with the understanding that we have now of more of the themes and how those have been evolving or the course of the songs, and specifically where we're at in this middle portion of the album between skit one and skit two, and Kanye really reflecting on, is he driving slow enough in the music industry, right? And yeah. is he going to have the patience to not get swept up and swept away by everything that's going on? There's still like an attitude and aggressiveness in the song that just hasn't been present on the album, right? Like, Kanye was thoughtful on Heard Him Say. He was happy on Touch the Sky. There's like humor in Gold Digger, despite how kind of serious the song is as well. Drive Slow is reflective. Crack Music is socially like critical. And then right. Roses is also very much this like story unfolding of him in the hospital. Just this song of him speaking so directly to the industry, to the haters, like aggrandizing himself in this way, it's not repetitive at all.
Totally. I think you're hitting on what makes the song powerful, because I think after the 1-2 punch of Crack Music and Roses, Bring Me Down can feel less like impressive and deep compared to something like Crack Music, and less profound and sentimental than something like Roses. Like, it's this kind of, again, just like short, I guess by comparison, it seems kind of slight and trivial. Like, it's just kind of being mad at people. But the real power of the song is, as you're describing, like the attitude and how the attitude comes to color a lot of the emotions and themes and ideas Kanye's exploring on the album, and how like the song, I guess in some ways, like you could call it like a bit of an interlude in that way, or like a song that is just there as kind of an album track, like something that accentuates what's going on, as opposed to needing to be some like big hit single with like three verses and lots of points. Like, it's kind of a very focused song. There's not a ton of nuance to the song, but what the song actually speaks on, like the way it fits into the album, like that's the power of it. Like the emotion it gives the album, like all the production, all the strings, Brandy's hook, and just like the underlying meaning of it and like what that brings out.
Yeah, okay. you just blew my mind for a second. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to build up to this.
Let's do it.
So we've talked, for anybody that's just like catching this or needs a refresher, about how the core of the album kind of gets expressed in the trio of songs from Heard 'Em Say, Touch the Sky, and Gold Digger. Specifically with Heard 'Em Say being more of this, this is where I came from, this is the social experience in Black America, versus Touch the Sky of this is where I'm going, this is where I've ascended to, and I'm so happy to be like in the music industry and successful. And then Gold Digger ends up being this gray middle area where even though you thought that you were above all of the troubles that you came from, you're still finding a whole new set of troubles awaits you. And we're seeing in this middle section, those, that trio of energy kind of play out again and again, and it gets grounded with Drive Slow and just this idea of you need to drive slow, because if you start trying to race through life, if you start trying to do everything at once the way that Molly does on that song, you might get ahead of yourself. Molly has a kid when he's still a teenager and is the one telling Kanye, like, yo, you don't want to be doing what I'm doing. Like, you need to pump the brakes and drive slow, which is contrasted then by Paul Wall and GLC's verses on that song that aren't necessarily about driving slow out of being careful of not getting yourself in a, like a Gold Digger situation or some other like compromising scenario. It's more about, hey, drive slow so you don't miss like a girl that you can sleep with, or you don't miss being able to indulge in the fame and celebrity that you've accrued. And you see Drive Slow lead into My Way Home, lead into Crack Music, which is kind of this trio of songs that look at like driving slow, but the power that you now have in the musical world and the tension that you have in that musical world. I wonder if there's a similar trio kind of going on with Roses, Bring Me Down, and Addiction, because as you're talking about what Bring Me Down is, it feels very similar in ways to what My Way Home is, right? It's not a three verse song. It's something much smaller, much more direct, but still powerful in that simplicity. And it comes after something that's much more thoughtful, like Drive Slow and Roses. Not more thoughtful, but just like this thoughtful, considerate song. And then you have Crack Music, and then you have Addiction kind of being the like endpoint of that trio, which is, I don't know, you can already see just in the title alone the kind of the relationship between a song called Crack Music and a song called Addiction, even though the details of those songs differ, right? Where Crack Music is about the power that Kanye and other Black musicians have at this point, making the kind of music that they're making and what that affords them in America and the impact that it's having on America. Where Addiction is much more personal and Kanye's own kind of flaw, but it does seem, I don't know, that you might be getting a little bit of a trio of songs and then a trio of songs.
Yeah. And I think that's why we were mostly thrown off the last time we went through this album, is we are just accustomed to a very straightforward, linear narrative album from Kanye that kind of lays out things, not to say this in a bad way, but in a more like elementary way that's pretty easy to understand and consume, where Late Registration is really revealing itself to not be that way, that there are these little trinkets, there are these like micro narratives, there are these smaller section, like trios of songs that we're supposed to group together and like see its own narrative unfolding. But then at the same time, all of those narratives play into a much larger narrative, which is Kanye's struggle with fame and his ability to make an impact in the world. Like, it's so many things at once that trying to like expertly and scholarly break it down to like, this is what Late Registration about, is like kind of fruitless, because it's about everything.
Yeah, there's so much that he gets into. It feels like in some ways like one of Kanye's broadest albums in hindsight. In terms of like the range of topics he's talking about versus like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, it just seems to be in contrast maybe a little bit more one-dimensional. Not to take away from My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, but I'm just, my respect for Late Registration is rising.
You like big, ambitious things, so that does not surprise me.
I do. I do. Okay, so a little bit of interesting background. This song is actually a combination of previous songs Kanye had worked on, which is true for similar things, or not similar things, but it's true for other tracks on the College Dropout and Late Registration. There were versions of the songs that Kanye had been messing around with on his mixtapes. This is one of the few, I think, that took like a beat that he did and a verse he did and like from different tracks and smashed them together.
Yeah.
But you have It Your Way, which is the first version production wise of Bring Me Down. Bullets flying, niggas dying, moms crying, beggars really don't want it, leg coming, blood gushing from the arms, legs, head and stomach, felt the hatred, cause when I turned around like the Matrix coming for me, and a ray of bullets headed dead for me, first the one, and then came the two, and three, and four, five, six, seven, shots from a Mac 11, platinum producer killed by haters tonight on channel 7, and it's from his 2001, or it's just from 2001. And you can hear the same sample of Rose Banks' My Life Is Yours. And Kanye has Don't Want Nobody to Die, Don't Want to Have to Ride, But In This Game, I Guess That's Just the Way, I Guess That's Just the Way, Have It Your Way, which is very like dark, right? And then just, it's going to be slow singing, flower bringing, gat clinging, bat swinging, bullets flying, guys dying, moms crying. People really don't want it. Lead coming, blood gushing from your arms, legs, head, and stomach. Like, it's immediately a graphic and violent song.
Yeah. Very atypical for Kanye. And in the sense that he's singing about the Saints, but you do get the sense from him that he doesn't want to be indulging in the violence, but like almost feels compelled to. Like, it's a song that really reflects, I guess, the situation of living in that kind of environment.
Yeah, and I think just 2001 trying to fit in with other rappers and what the genre was doing at the time, right?
Right.
Like, gangster rap was all the rage. And having images like that, having lines like that was very vogue. Which, I mean, was the reality for a lot of rappers, right? And probably plays in some degree to Kanye's reality, but we know that he wasn't this kind of guy, and that he would go on to not make music that was like this. He would be much more truer to his own experiences.
Totally. And what's interesting about him, production wise, you know, he's sampling the same song that he does in Bring Me Down, which is the song My Life Is Loving You, but here for Have It Your Way, he is like, he's painting this, you know, this environment where there's violence and guns, and Kanye's kind of part of it. And like you're saying, like, that's not really Kanye. So it's interesting to see Kanye like playing that part and doing that, because when we really see him come into his own element is a song like Bring Me Down, where he uses the same kind of production and similarly expresses a lot of anger and frustration. But this time it's for the music industry, and how the music industry holds him back, and how there are people in the music industry that aren't going out there and making a difference in the world. Like, it's funny to see him, I don't want to say pretend, but like trying to be that guy, like you said, like gangster rap, and like trying to put up that image. You can kind of sense that like it's not fully him when you compare like the energy of Have It Your Way to Bring Me Down, where Kanye is truly pissed.
Truly. Truly.
Because there's nothing worse than holding Kanye back. Like, that's the worst thing you could do to Kanye.
Which is something that, which I don't know if we talk about it now or talk about it later. Like, Kanye has addressed this multiple times in interviews. Like, you think back to like 2013 and his like How Sway moments where he felt like held back. That's what gave rise to Yeezus. You think about 2015 where he's like frustrated that Mark Zuckerberg's not returning his calls and not like, and people aren't investing in him. He's just like, what do I have to do to get somebody to invest in me? And then in 2018 to 2020, he keeps addressing the fact that like, why aren't people giving me the respect I deserve? Why aren't people like recognizing me as their like OG? Why are you trying to like hold me back and argue with me? and attack me rather than make progress with me. Like, this doesn't have to be us dragging each other down. We can make progress together. Why won't you all work with me? He's still frustrated by it.
Yeah. I mean, you just see that micro-narrative play out through Connie's life because he is that way. Like, it's been fashion. It's been religion. It's been politics lately. And it, but in the beginning, it was music because he was just getting into the music world. And you know, late registration really is like this coming of age story where he's learning what the real world's really like. You know, finally, College Dropout was just this envision of what celebrity would be like and how glorious it is. But late registration is like, oh shit, like the world's messed up and the music industry doesn't want me to be myself. So we're seeing him work through all of those emotions here.
Yes. Also, and the second song where Kanye draws from is, well, this is a little confusing. So there's a song called Whack N-Words that Kanye did with Talib Kweli, but there's also that same song that he did with Kweli and Consequence and Common. So there's multiple versions of this song, and it's not quite clear which one came out first. Like, the one is said to be on Talib Kweli's The Beautiful Mix CD, but the cover is like Consequence. Mm-hmm. And then the one that's just like Kweli and Kanye is on Freshman Adjustment Volume 1. So there's like three albums that the two versions of the song is on. But in the one that's just Kanye and Kweli, there's not like much in the way like specific lyrics that come up.
I wish all whack niggas to get out the game. You can't con me, that's half my name. And if you had any brains, you wouldn't want to lose half your brain for hating on players in the game. Whack nigga, the beat go da da da, and then your flow go way the fuck off. I kill y'all niggas on that lyrical shit. Mayonnaise, color bins, I push lyrical whips. But I'm not trying to cause commotion and have all my niggas bring all the...
There's still like the same idea, right? The verse starts with Kanye saying, I wish all whack guys get out the game. You can't con me, that's half my name. And if you had any brains, you wouldn't want to lose half your brain by hating on players in the game. Whack guy, the beat go da da da, and then your flow go way the fuck off. I kill y'all on that lyrical shit. Mayonnaise colored bends, I push miracle whips. Kanye bringing that line back in. But I'm not trying to cause commotion and have my guys bring all the toast in. I just want your girl to rub my balls with lotion. So it is very much him against other MCs, right? In a way that Have It Your Way wasn't. And then in the version with Common, Consequence, Kanye, and Kweli, this is where Kanye starts bringing in some of the lines that we recognize from Bring Me Down.
We keep it hot like it's after May. Smoke a nigga, then I pass the cave. The pastor say, we going to mass today. We have to pray. These niggas is whacking A, I have to say. Since Pac passed away, most of these niggas don't even deserve a track from me. First of all, let's get rid of them Louis Vuitton boots and get your tall ass out that C-class coupe. You see the whiskey. Had them girls feeling frisky. You was with me. She said, who's the sissy? And even if they did,
The pastors say we're going to mass today, we have to pray, these guys is whack. I have to say, since Pac passed away, most of these guys don't even deserve a track from me. First of all, let's get rid of them Louis Vuitton boots and get your tall ass out that C-class coupe. You see the whiskey, had them girls feeling frisky. It's a little different through the middle until we get to the end. And Spanish girls tell you no hable ingle, and everybody want to run to me for they single. And it's funny how these whack guys need my help. Was it around when I couldn't feed myself? Dog, if I was you, I wouldn't feel myself. Dog, if I was you, I'd kill myself. So the beginning and the end have the similarities with the middle being different.
Yeah, and that middle part, again, I think is very revealing of Kanye and how he grew as an artist. And I guess just how he grew up. Because on that song with, you know, all those people, he's... just like, it's kind of a posse cut. Like, they're all going after the weaker men in their field. And Kanye's way of dragging down the rappers and the guys he sees that aren't as good as him are just to make fun of the way they dress and act. But in Bring Me Down, like, it evolves. And again, like, the fatal flaw these people have is that they're not doing enough of their career. And in effect, they're holding Kanye back, which is like a big no-no. So, like, again, the things Kanye chooses to focus on and be angry about evolves and becomes much more profound. And the commentary he's making is just, there's more to it. Like, he's actually talking about the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you can even see just, like, visually, if you bring up the lyrics for Whack and then you bring up the lyrics for Bring Me Down, it's just visually more. Oof. And it looks denser, it feels denser. Like, there's definitely a difference, which is funny because when we were looking at the Whack song and you look at the verses that everybody has, like, Consequences, Kanye's, and Common's are all, like, decent, but are pretty, like, short in their rhymes. Like, Common says, Whack, I don't even like to be around them. Give them dap or pound them. See them out, they hounding dogs, saying that they got tracks for me to get down on. It's just, like, these quick hit lines that give a sharp flow, a quick flow, but there's not as much content. Same thing with Consequence. You know you Whack when your dogs tell you. That's how you know your flow is weak, because you only got them there to say yes, like flowetry. The click that I oversee and impressed by your poetry. You're the piece you're supposed to be. You ain't coming close to me. Quick, quick, quick. And then you get to Quelly and to Libs, like, in the beginning, God created man in his own image. I'm about to tell you how the story gonna finish. Quelly handle his business. Guys, don't forget it, because a wise man can choose to get ignorant with it. Now I mean, y'all can't get it. I'm considered the nicest the way I spit. It give these guys all identity crisis. There's just, like, an extension to the lines that I feel like by the time we get to Bring Me Down, Kanye almost is channeling more of what Quelly is doing than more of what, like, he himself was doing back then.
Yeah. Again, I think that's just his growth. Like, you spend enough time around these kinds of guys and you see more of the world and your thoughts become more complex. Like, kind of got to the point where he didn't want to just make a posse cut. He wanted to make a track that mattered, that to make a song that kept in theme with, like, a grander storyline. Like, you could just see it happening with Kanye.
Very much so. And this album's definitely, like, reflective of that growth lyrically.
Totally. Like, it's so much more complicated than, I guess I hesitate a little bit saying that, but to me it's more complicated than The College Dropout, like, which again is, like, elementary in its narrative, to where this is, God, it's like the wavers between emotions. Like, it's a roller coaster ride of emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, like, you get the high of this song. Like, you get the thoughtfulness of Roses into Bring Me Down, into Addiction. Just that trio, that, like, rhythm of songs. It's not just about, like, this song in and of itself, but its relationship with those other two. And I mean, maybe it's worth talking about just quickly the fact that Roses, Kanye felt a little unempowered by the fact that he didn't have Magic Johnson's money and what that could have meant for his grandma. Like, it was literally life or death. And now he's coming into this song with that attitude of, like, I just, like, almost lost my grandma because I couldn't afford to have Magic Johnson's doctors. And y'all are trying to bring me down. It's almost like you can feel the source of the anger and plus the source of his drive to achieve and not let people bring him down.
Yep, it's a constant battle.
Mm. Well, then the last piece of the puzzle that we have is Rose Banks' My Life is Loving You. Just for you. Which, fun fact, it's impossible to find the lyrics for written anywhere on the internet.
Luckily, the lyrics aren't hard to understand and are pretty much straightforward about this woman who loves a guy.
Yeah, just like she says at one point, like, the thing that you planted in me is starting to, like, flower. It's this, my life is loving you. Just this love is growing for this guy and she's in love with him and she's ready to dedicate her entire life to him, which we talked about early on, the use of love songs on this album. There was a one on Heard Him Say, Touch the Sky, like Gold Digger. And just this idea of the breakup songs, but also the like, deep love songs, and it getting at the tension that Kanye is having on this album with fame and with the music industry. And that contrast is served really well here with the fact that the song is talking about his haters and is so aggressive while having a sample that's so like loving and longing, which, you know, do you start to apply that then to how Kanye's feeling about the industry and that he's not going to let these people bring him down because his life is dedicated to loving what he does and making music? Is he making a commentary on the haters, their life is loving Kanye and the fact that like they're obsessed with hating on him, et cetera, et cetera. But there's I think it just kind of gets back to just the tension of the industry and the tension of fame.
Yeah. I mean, if you're crazy people like us and you want to be, and I strongly encourage that you are, where you read into every sample Kanye uses and think it's a commentary in the song, which I understand some people being hesitant to that and thinking like he's just picking songs that sound good. Like we know Kanye just sits around listening to the different albums and like trying to find samples that work. Like his mind probably works in a much more sonic musical way. But at the same time, like when you see somebody crafting a narrative on an album, and we've seen so many times him picking love songs, like you're saying, and there is this striking tension between certain love songs, which are very endearing and loving, and some of them are filled with tension and breakup, that comes to reflect everything Kanye's saying about the music industry. And you can't help but think that he's trying to infuse the album sonically, production-wise, with that element. Like, that's a beautiful thing to do. So even if Kanye's not doing that, just think that he is. And the album gains so much more nuance, like musically. And I mean, we're talking about Kanye here. Like, he's a musical genius. Like, who's to say he isn't doing all that stuff?
Yo, right. I mean, we also know that Kanye thinks about, he said it in the Black Album documentary, right, that he thinks about how you score movies or how you score the music in songs is like the score to a scene in a movie. And that it's there to add to the scene, right? Mm-hmm. To bring out the emotion that you're trying to bring out, to add to the context of what's going on. So I really don't think he picks these things without thinking through how it's adding to the message of the song.
Yeah, because that brings out the power of the song even more, which is really the goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lyrics?
Let's do it.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi-Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nordfiliale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
They try to bring me down, way down, way down. One day, they try to bring me down. Always knew that one day, they try to bring me down, way down.
Brandy.
All right, so we start with Brandy, and she says, I always knew that one day they'd try to bring me down, you know?
Who's they?
Yeah, that's the immediate question, which we are going to find out in detail, which starts like kind of conspiratorial, right? If somebody came up to you and just like grabbed you by the shoulders and be like, they're trying to bring me down, you'd be like, who? The little green men? Like,
I would believe them and grab their hand and join the fight.
That's, you've seen so many movies that, of course.
Also a follower of QAnon.
Oh, God. Don't even joke. One day they try to bring me down. Always knew that one day they try to bring me down, way down, they try to bring me down. There is something, this is probably now starting to reach a little bit, but there is something to the repetition of like bring me down, way down, 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 that starts to feel that energy of like being brought down.
Yeah. Keep going.
Oh, just that directionality starts to come into play.
Yeah. And I think that's cool because there is repetition there. And by repeating it, like it seems to gain more and more power on paper. But in addition to that, like just like the music, to me, this is because we've spent a lot of time talking about how full the songs are in this album, like all the orchestras, all the choirs, like there's so much going on. It really does feel like a symphony orchestra sometimes. This song to me, like, steps it up another notch. Like the opening strings are dramatic, then Brandy comes in, like somehow Brandy is more powerful than the strings, then somehow like the piano blows this shit up even more, like, and then the drums come in. It's such an atypical way to build up the tension of the song, all before Kanye comes in, and then Kanye is the one that, like, you know, skyrockets it. Like, it's just musically it's fucking genius, a genius way to build it up.
It is. There's beauty. There's immense beauty.
We go on the mass today. We have to pray. Besides what the pastor say, I have to say, since Pac passed away, most you rappers don't even deserve a track from me. You see, if you ever wanted to ever be anything, it'd always be somebody that'll shoot down any dream. It'd always be haters. That's the way it is. Hater niggas marry hater bitches and have hater kids. But they gon' have to take my life or they take my drive. Cause when I was barely living, that's what kept me alive. Just a thought that maybe it could be better than where we at it this time. Make it out of this grind, for I'm out of my mind. And get some leeway on it, he say, she say. Your girl don't like me, how long has she been gay? Spanish girls say, you know, I blay ingle. And everybody wanna run to me for they single. It's funny how these whack niggas need my help. Running around when I couldn't feed myself. Dog, if I was you, I wouldn't feel myself. Dog, if I was you, I'd kill myself. Made a meal myself, and I'm still myself. And I'ma look in the mirror if I need some help. Now I speak from the heart, y'all all front. Everybody feel a way about K, but at least y'all feel something. Feel something.
What you call it? So we start the first verse with Kanye politely describing how we going to mass today, we have to pray, right? Which starts to kind of capture a little bit of heard him say, we're talking about like people going to mass and like throwing some hot cars. Besides what the pastor say, I have to say, which is such a classic Kanye kind of moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're going to church to pray and usually you just listen to the pastor, but he's saying no. Like whatever he's saying, I have to stand up here and say. It's almost like he's taking the mic from the pastor. Since Pac passed away, most you rappers don't even deserve a track from me.
I mean, a lot happens there in such a short period of time. Like you're saying, like there's something to the fact that Kanye is like essentially taking the microphone away from the preacher and saying like, well, I have something to say too. And I think this kind of gets at there might be some more ironic intentions with the song, to where it starts, you know, where you have a pastor talking, which is like, it recalls heard him say, and this idea that you go to church to like feel something and to bring hope into your life. But then Kanye grabs the mic thinking like, well, I'm going to be the one that gives people hope, which could be ironic in the way of like, you can see his ego overtaking him and that he feels like his word is more important than the pastor almost, or that like, or just is as important. And that anybody then, if that's what the song's setting up, then moving forward, anybody who stands in his way is standing in the way of somebody who's speaking words on the level of a preacher, which like, is either A, like empowering to Kanye in his journey, thinking like, oh yeah, this guy really believes in himself, or B, knowing what we know happens to Kanye, especially on the next album where he falls prey to like all the ugly parts of celebrity, somebody who's believing in himself maybe a little, I don't want to say believing in himself too much because that's not right, but like somebody who perceives his power to be greater than it is.
Yeah, or perceives his power or his mission allowing him to do things in a way that is more problematic than helpful, maybe you could say.
Yeah, because again, it's not a bad thing to think of yourself that way. Like you should want to go out into the world and do good and think your words matter. But I think a part of this album is also kind of growing up and realizing his place in the world and like how his words matter and how he fits into everything. Like I think here more, I guess what we're seeing is like a very naive Kanye who thinks like, I'm going to get up there and talk and like fuck anybody who stands in my way, when really like there's a time and place for something like that.
It is fascinating that in the next section we get him doing a song with Jay and then a song with Nas, which when we're talking about like him trying to grow up, him trying to assume this leadership position, this is really him like being upset with the industry and then doing tracks with two of the top people in the industry. And either that's like him just showing off, but thematically you could also point to it that what he's trying to do here, especially with Addiction being the next song, right? It's almost like he's realizing that there's a little bit of a decline or a little bit of flailing that he's falling prey to, and then regrouping by getting back to Jay, getting back to Nas, and seeing how they lead.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, because like on Addiction is a very self-aware song. Like it's overtly self-aware, to whereas Bring Me Down isn't. Like Kanye's just mad. And any ironies at play here are just kind of underlying or part of the writer's intent instead of something that's obvious, which is good. Like it's good for Kanye to not be so overtly self-aware and Bring Me Down, so he can then be pretty self-aware on Addiction, on Diamonds from Sierra Leone, especially Diamonds from Sierra Leone, where in the original version he's also at a mass. But this time when he's at a mass, like he realizes something about himself and like his place in the world and how he can do good. Here on Bring Me Down, like I think he's purposely setting up the idea of like, it almost seems like he thinks he's more important than mass. Like he matters more than that, and anybody who stands in his way, fuck you.
Isn't that really telling then, though, that like here you have a song where he is the focus of the mass or taking away from the mass, using it as his pulpit? And then on the OG Diamonds from Sierra Leone, which, you know, maybe it wouldn't have been in the same spot. Maybe it was recorded before Bring Me Down, or we don't know the exact backstory, but you can see a situation where it was still going to take that same spot as track 13.
Yeah.
And Kanye would have another trip to church, but this time be more in service, more humbled by the experience.
Right. Yeah. And on the remix version of Diamonds from Sierra Leone, he effectively does that without going into the mass storyline. So again, like you're saying, like you can see like the unfolding of the narrative as he wanted it to play out. It's just some of the details and nuance change.
Yeah. Interesting. Man, I love Kanye.
And I love the song, I Love Kanye.
Okay. Most of you rappers don't even deserve a track from me. Yeah. Like, what an amazing thing.
I have to say this.
Yeah. You see, if you ever wanted to be anything, there'd always be somebody that shoot down any dream, which now we're transitioning again, because it's not just like him as a producer, but now him as an artist. And just talking about in general, like if you have a dream and you're trying to achieve something, you're one of the kids in Heard Him Say that's like realizes that nothing's ever promised tomorrow today, and you're working hard to touch the sky. There's always going to be people that try to hold you down. There'll always be haters. That's the way it is. Hater guys marry hater bitches and have hater kids. And you have, in the midst of that, there'll always be haters, that's the way it is, which seems to be a reference to or interpolation of Tupac's song Changes, which is arguably one of Tupac's biggest songs, or arguably Tupac's biggest song, right?
Come on, come on. I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a hero. Get it back to the kids, who the hell cares? One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship him, don't let him deal with brothers.
And on that song, you have the contrast between the verse and the chorus, where in the verse, Pac starts each time saying, I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and ask myself, is life worth living? But in the chorus, you get, that's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. So you have this sense of nothing changes versus the sense of things will never be the same. And that's the way it is. Changes happen all the time, with a lot of the song coming back to the idea at the very end, like, or in the interlude, we got to make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat, let's change the way we live, and let's change the way that we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we got to do to survive. You can almost see Kanye thinking about that application, right? Of like, yo, we gotta support one another. We can't keep tearing each other down. Like, we need to make these positive changes within the culture, because so much of this album has been talking about society and what the, like, Black experience in America is, with Kanye looking at what it can be and how do we improve, how do things change and get better, not just for individuals, but for the whole. And having haters that are constantly trying to bring you down is not the energy that's needed. But then at the same time, you get the contrast of where Tupac's saying, like, you know, things change. Kanye's saying, like, no, there's always going to be haters. Right. Like, that's the way it is. And yeah, this connection also dates all the way back to Have It Your Way. In the hook where Kanye says, don't want nobody to die, don't want to have to ride, but this is the game. I guess that's just the way it is. Like, people have to die in hip hop. People have to die in my Chicago, like, experience. And he's accepting of that rather than trying to change it. And here he's accepting of the haters, but he's also trying to change things on the album as a whole, which is really, I don't know, the depth is profound.
Yeah. Even more Tupac connections. I mean, he does mention Tupac just a few lines earlier, but the song before this, Roses, is strongly interpolating a Tupac verse on the track Mama's Just a Little Girl, where he talks about a rose that grew from the concrete. And he says, like, well, you wouldn't talk about the rose's damaged petals. You'd celebrate its tenacity. You'd talk about how the rose had the power and the strength to rise up out of the concrete. Which, again, it's this very deep way of looking at a situation, a more, I guess, like, communal way of looking at the world, of a more empowering way of looking at the world, which, again, contrasts everything Kanye's saying on this song. Like, everything Kanye is, the rhetoric, the language, the attitude, it all contrasts every Pac song we're talking about. And I think reveals that, like, Kanye wants to live by the word of Pac and wants to mimic Pac, but is still in the stage where he thinks anger and fighting is the way to do it. And over the course of his career, I guess we'll see, maybe not this album necessarily, because he's still working through all that, but we see over the course of his career that he moves a different direction and he starts to realize a better way to live and a better way to take action.
Yes. Man. The song.
It's all there.
The song. Yeah. But they gonna have to take my life before they take my drive, man. Because when I was barely living, that's what kept me alive.
Through the wire.
Right. just the thought. And yeah, I mean, he still rapped a while after the car crash. And that was the first thing, right? It wasn't like, oh, I survived this. Like, I need to recover. It was like, you get a recorder, I need to spit something right now. Just the thought that maybe it could be better than what we at this time. That's exactly it, which also calls back to Heard Him Say, right? And Touch the Sky and that dynamic and back to College Dropout. Yeah. Make it out of this grind for I'm out of my mind. Yo, you remember Spaceship. And get some leeway on the he say, she say, which gets back to like being out of your mind, right? Like, it's not just make it out of this grind for I'm out of my mind from having to grind on all of this like bullshit and put up with bullshit and like the struggle, but also like from the drama that comes with it. Like, hopefully, like, you get ahead and get some respect and you get away from everybody speaking on you or the drama that comes with that, which is going to come back and gone as one of the things that's like kind of driving Kanye wild.
Yeah, that's another, again, component of this entire album is Kanye being with the right crowd. Like, he wants to, and I guess that's really the tension of the album. He both wants to be a celebrity, but doesn't want any of the pains that come with being a celebrity. And one of the pains that comes with being a celebrity is you lose contact with your family and you're less part of that community. And we see Kanye slowly starting to move away from that community, which is really just the story of his career at this point, and a big part of Graduation. But as he moves away from that community, he becomes more ingratiated in the music community, where he's expelling all these frustrations. Like, he's just somebody who both can't be part of the community that feels at home and like safe and brings like the good out of him, and can't help but getting sucked into this other community that's kind of bringing the bad out of him and it's suppressing him and not letting him reach his full potential.
Which kind of comes back to Drive Slow and back to Home Is Where the Hate Is. I mean, and even Roses, with the fact that like Kanye talks about like the power of having family around and how when you're with your family, like, you feel good and you can conquer these things, which also creates then the antithesis of that. The unspoken implication is that when you're not around your family, there is less support. There's more room for trouble. There's more room for pitfalls. And after Roses, like, Kanye just kind of goes his own way, right? Like, and especially where he's ascending to in the music industry. And you can track that progress into something like 808s and Heartbreak, where he barely has time for the people around him. And then you think about where he's at with Real Friends and just admitting that all of his relationships have become essentially twisted and ruined by fame, whether it's his own like laziness with keeping up with people or the fact that the people that he was close with now just want things from him, which is why Kim and his new, like, his kids are so important to him at this point. Because he now finally has a new family and that new proximity and closeness.
Yeah, that like unconditional forgiving love that you get with family, where they don't care what you've done. Like, they're there to support you and help you through the toughest of times. That kind of relationship he has with his family and Rose is like, it's not there to bring me down and really for the rest of the album and the rest of his career until he has his own family. Like, he keeps trying to find that in the music industry and he's not getting it.
I mean, you think that you have it with like The Rock, right? Like, he goes on to, in this very album, talk about The Rock is still alive every time I rhyme. Right. Like, I'm going to like be part of this Rockefeller family. And like the next album has Big Brother, where he's just like, sorry, I pissed you off, Jay.
Even that,
like,
fell apart.
Yeah. So where are we at? Oh, and get some leeway on the he say, she say. Your girl don't like me. How long has she been gay? Which,
Jesus.
Such a question. But it also is probably a reference to a song called On the Mic by Big L.
Hey, yo, I should have been out. I'm deadly when I pull the pin out. Keep fronting, I'm gonna try your chin out. I knocked a lot of men out. I left them on the floor spitting phlegm out. It's either that or I'm gonna squeeze the gat and pop 10 out.
And this might get a little out there. So Big L had the song come out, I think it was 1999 or 1998, some early period in that like mid to late 90s. And in the first verse, he goes, "Ayo, I should have been out. I'm deadly when I pull the pen out. Keep frontin', almost tried your chin out. I knocked a lot of men out. I left them on the floor spitting phlegm out. It's either that or I'ma squeeze that gat and pop 10 out. You see Corleone, ice spinning, jigged out, white linen. And if a bitch don't like me, she must like women." Which is a similar like couplet, right, in structure to what Kanye says. It's just framed more as a rhetorical question than as a pure statement. But Big L's verse goes on with, "Every time I come around, you see your wife grinning. Don't be mad because your career's in the ninth inning. It's over now. Leave the game. I'm from the danger zone where MCs get slain. We're thugs that never hesitate to squeeze the flame. Where guys be taking drugs just to ease the pain. Hustlers flip cokey, 48 hours like Nick Nolte. When I was OT, your bitch wrote me. First day home, I dived in it, left her thighs dented." Man, Big L. But he eventually gets to, "MCs I squash in disgrace. Peace to Biggie and Pac, because they were really hot. Rap game heavy hitters, it's a shame they no longer with us. Guys want to be L, ladies want to see L. If I go to jail, you'll wear a t-shirt saying free L." And then there's a whole second verse that carries that same idea to it. And the chorus is, "On the mic is Big L, that brother who kicks Flav God. I was rocking mic since guys were rocking pro kids." There's just this whole, I'm showing you how much bigger I am than others in the industry. I'm going after other MCs, like, you can't bring me down kind of attitude that reflects have it your way, whack, and bring me down. And the sad part is, and I don't know if this is thoughtful on Kanye's part or just like coincidental, is that Big L was in 1999 killed in a drive-by. And it really puts into context how serious some of this stuff is. Like, we talked about how Have It Your Way, that's not Kanye's life.
Right.
But Big L, it was his life, right? And what happened to him is exactly what he talked about happening to others and what other rappers have talked about happening to their friends, their family, what they may have done, right? So there is a very, very much a seriousness to what these rappers are saying. There's very much consequences to being in the game. And you really do have people get brought down for what they're saying in their songs and for trying to improve their life in this way and get out of the situation. Big L didn't get that opportunity despite his potential. And now you have Kanye referencing a line from a song that kind of carried that same energy. So I think it does put into context, whether intentionally or not, the life or death nature of what Kanye is dealing with.
Yeah, he's really channeling something that, like, by channeling that song from Big L and all of the weight that comes from both, you know, the lyrics and Big L's story, like, you could see again how that translates to the frustration Kanye has and how these artists are torn down and not given the chance to do more. It's the fight Kanye's still fighting today. He constantly feels marginalized and held back and people don't believe in him. Like, that's just, it's just funny to see how the message here is pretty similar to the message today, where, but this was early on in Kanye's career when he was like, you know, right when he's starting. It's one thing now when Kanye's been around for as long as he can and is still just like frustrated by the way the industry is and how it hasn't changed. Here we have a young Kanye realizing that's the way the industry is, and he's just so like annoyed by it. It's just like, what the fuck is this? And again, like, that's the beauty of, like, again, whenever Kanye samples or interpolates a song, that's what he brings out of it. He doesn't just channel like the bare bones, like, oh, here's a line from another song. Like, it almost always carries something with it, and that's just, I don't know, it's fodder for us.
Yeah, we eat it up. Nom, nom, nom. Yeah. Moving on, we have Spanish Girl Say, "Yo no hablo inglés." I don't speak English. And Kanye says, and everybody want to run to me for their single, which kind of goes back to what he was saying, like most of your rappers don't even deserve a track from me. Uh-huh. And this also comes back to what he was saying on WAC. And then it's funny how these WAC guys need my help. So even there, you get him bringing back specifically that song title. Was it around when I couldn't feed myself? Dog, if I was you, I wouldn't feel myself. Dog, if I was you, I'd kill myself.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't think you could maybe get away with that line in like 2020 music lyrics, but it's still a, man, what a line.
It's a line Kanye could probably get away with if he was, because I think on his later albums, he more plays a character where like, yeah, like the character is a reflection of a journey Kanye's going through, but the character also does say in like sleep with a model and get bleach in your t-shirt, like shit, you know, Kanye didn't do, but like expresses like these kind of ridiculous frowned upon things. So I could see Kanye doing something like this in that context. But here I agree, like this song is a song by Kanye West to the world. Like you can feel it and you understand it. Like there's not a ton of nuance or like story necessarily there, like no fiction. It's just more like, I guess, irony, because I don't think Kanye wants anyone to kill themselves, but like this is the attitude that's coming out in that moment.
Yeah, and we know that he's talking more about like music industry stuff at this point, right? Like they're coming to him for a single, like you need my help, like, but you weren't around when I like was struggling. And we know that Kanye was like trying to get a deal, nobody was signing him, nobody was really giving him the opportunity. So then he's just kind of like, yeah, and this is, look what I did and look what where you are needing my help. Like if I was you, I'd just quit trying to be a rapper.
Yeah,
like I made a mill myself and I'm still myself.
That's interesting.
And I'm a looking, yeah, right, like he's feeling like he hasn't changed, but then look where we get to with Graduation. Like he takes a sharp left turn.
Yeah, not himself.
And I'm a look in the mirror if I need some help, which I'm pretty sure that's the line that like J. Cole's referring to on False Prophets, which song still pisses me off.
That's a song I've completely wiped from my memory.
Yeah, not to ruin the moment by bringing up J. Cole and False Prophets, but
it's funny because we did a whole special episode on that song when it came out and dissecting the lyrics, and I don't remember a lick of it. That's how forgettable it was.
They are burned into my psyche.
You have rage. I have indifference.
Yeah. 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 Well, and I'm a look in the mirror if I need some help, which is just such like an egotistical line as well, right?
Right.
Like, if I need help, I'm just going to go to myself because I'm not just a rapper. I'm a producer. I'm the ultimate combo, but I'm also like smarter, faster, better, stronger. Like,
well, we also see though eventually in his career that he does need other people's help, and so again, this is a very egotistical, naive mindset.
Yeah, very much. I mean, even by the end of this album, right, he's like, I should run away.
Right.
Like
Archer,
thank you, Arch. Oh my goodness. It's okay.
I think he agrees with me.
I think so. He liked your point.
Yeah.
Now I'll speak from the heart as if he wasn't already. Y'all all frontin'. Everybody feel a way about K, but at least y'all feel something.
Man, does he ever refer to himself as K in any other song?
I don't think so. I think this was like a 2001 to 2005 thing.
He should have said yay. That would have fit.
Was he even yay at this point?
I know, but that would have been better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Y'all feel a way about yay, but at least y'all feel something.
Yeah, just a note.
The frontin' throws me off.
y'all all fronting?
Just the idea, like, they're all fronting as in, the, like, they're all, like, pretending to have their hate, or they're all, like, lying at what they're doing, or they're all lying as, like, musicians or artists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he just means, like, you're not living up to your full potential as an artist, or you're not doing what you signed up to do.
Yeah, y'all fake, y'all aren't doing enough. But I think it mostly just wants to rhyme with something, like, and to play off that line. It just feels kind of like a setup line, right?
Yeah.
Like, everybody feel a way about K, but at least y'all feel something. Like, love me, hate me, think I'm egotistical, whatever it is, but at least you, like, know my name and feel some kind of way about me.
Early stages of Kanye being a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if people are going to hate me, but it's going to call attention to this issue, like, fine. But that works for me.
What you call me? I'm at home and forgetting what some get will get you. What kind of drink we found? See, I'm off to
And then we get Brandy kind of coming back in. Oh, but we have the bridge. Yeah. What you call... I forgot about the bridge.
Oh, yeah. This is where the story comes in.
Yeah.
The world famous Tony Williams.
Yeah. So world famous Tony Williams had a period of doing genius annotations. And I could see that period was 6 years ago. And he said, the day before I had to fly to L.A. to record Brandy's part for the song, I had to drive from Dallas to Oklahoma City for an all-night session and then drive back to Dallas for a 1 o'clock flight. I managed to catch my flight to L.A. to do the parts with Brandy that I had supposedly written, but I still hadn't written anything. I had the melody line down, but I just couldn't unlock the combination of the song. When I got on the plane for the three-hour flight, I still hadn't written one word. I can remember it like it was yesterday. It took all 3 hours, but literally as the wheels hit the ground in LA, I wrote the last word to the bridge. There was an MTV documentary on the making of Late Registration, and it shows me when I actually walk into the studio and everyone is waiting for me. Ye and Brandy are at the board, and it shows me walking in fresh off the plane with the lyrics. They had no idea it was so last minute or that I hadn't slept in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So we start, like, this is the bridge. This is what he wrote that Brandy sang. It's what you callin'. I let all in, forgetting what some get will get you.
You know, English. I will say, what though, I think genius is a little misleading here. Because I think he's saying what it says, forgetting in two different words. I think it's I let all in and then like comma and then forgetting, like the word forget. Like, I think it's obviously it's an abstract way of like writing lyrics, but I feel like it's is it him saying that like I let people into my life and when I do that, I forget what some people will give back to you. And what they give back is like what the song is, like people don't believe in him or hold him back.
Yeah, I think it's getting into that like idea that you open yourself up forgetting what the consequences of that will be. And you can even go like forgetting what some get will get you. Like, you know, you let everybody in forgetting that when you start to get some success, what that gets you. which can be hate, which can be people trying to get something, like ask you for money, like any of the consequences of fame. But I think that's essentially what it's getting at. Like, you try to be wide-eyed or try to be accommodating and people take advantage. Like, if you left your fridge open, right, say, and somebody that was a dear friend just walked up and took a sandwich, or somebody you don't even
know. And it was a chicken salad sandwich that you really wanted.
Right, because you're like, oh, I remember when my parents used to make chicken salad. I haven't had it for years. It brings back memories of childhood. And then
these grapes are organic.
Yeah, and shit's gone.
Yeah, and you almost wonder if, like, I feel like some element of this is, like, Connie lets people, I'm still trying to, like, dissect exactly what the language is, but, like, it's almost like he's frustrated with them that they blew this opportunity that he's given them. Like, he wants them to be part of, like, this movement he wants to be part of, like, and making music that matters, and he gives them a chance, and then they blow an opportunity. Like, they don't aspire for the heights he aspires to, or they aren't at his level. And again, like, that's the frustration. Like, why isn't everybody in the music industry want to change the world as much as I do?
There might just be something more about achievement too. Like, I let all in. Like, I have enjoyed what fame gets, or I've accepted everything that fame's brought to me, forgetting that when you let it all in, that some of that's going to be negative.
I like that. Catching crosswinds.
Yeah. You get that. What kind of dream we found? Like, what is this thing that we now have, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is fame? Like, we found this dream. It's like, we have it, but what is this?
That's interesting.
And then, as you said, like, see, I'm often catching crosswinds. You can imagine Tony Williams, like, on the plane, just thinking about, because, like, crosswinds tends to be something for, like, flying related. Like, if you get crosswinds, there can be turbulence, et cetera, et cetera. But it can also just be like, hey, I'm catching crosswinds. Like, I'm taking off. I'm flying. New adventures, right?
I would love, because
there's turbulence.
I would love if other parts of his lyrics, like, talked about turbulence and stewardesses and, like, in-flight movies.
Right. It's just all like, oh, Tony was really writing this on the plane. But that idea of catching crosswinds gets at not just like fame, travel, but also I'm getting hate and dealing with these negative aspects of fame.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. I don't know why I ever try to boil down a moment in a Kanye song to one thing. Like, it's always so many things.
Right. It always stays just like a little vague to have the multitude of meaning.
Yeah.
Forgetting where the hell I met you. So that's where, like, the line often, like, can play off too, right? I'm often catching crosswinds has its own meaning about just like fame and the dream we found. But then you have the next line, forgetting where the hell I met you. Like, I travel so much, I'm going around all the time that I don't even remember where the hell I met you. And, like, and you try to bring me down.
Fuck you.
Yeah. So I think that's what the bridge is doing.
Yeah, it is, again, kind of hard to, I don't know, just strange language. But for that reason, like, I kind of like it. Like, it's a little cryptic in the way it reads, yet, like, you know exactly what it's saying. That there's some power to something like that.
Yeah, that cryptic nature of it makes it feel more poetic.
Yeah. I mean, we are talking about the world famous Tony Williams here.
Right. So then we have Brandy coming back in with the hook, even though she's not coming back in. She's just continuing. I always knew that one day they tried to bring me down, way down, way down, way down. And you get that, like, downwardness.
Yeah.
Leading to the next song, which is Addiction.
Mm. Wow. I love that end part, by the way, because, you know, in the beginning we talked about how the repetition, like, there's build to the tension, and, like, it feels like it gets more and more tense. Here at the end, when, like, you would think a song's, like, dying down, and it kind of is, like, there's less noise, there's less going on, yet, like, all of the elements Connie put in production wise with, like, the strings and, you know, just all the background shit, like, it has this tenacity, like it still feels powerful. Like I'm just still just blown away that Kanye could pull off anything like this. Like he could take something beautiful branding he's doing and put different music behind it, like each time, and then like each time it carries a different power. Like I throw my hands up. That shit's awesome.
I want to give a quick shout out to Ragsy R, who 7 years ago said, "I think Brandy's bridge is, 'Why'd you come then? I bet only forgetting what some gets would get you. What kind of dream we found? See, I'm often at your crossways, when or wins. It's really hard as music is too high here, but ways seems legit in the context of my opinion, forgetting where the hell I met you and try to bring me down." That was 7 years ago. I do think that if those were the lyrics, then when Tony Williams did the annotation, he would have fixed it or changed it. Like, I'm sure he read the lyrics and was like, yeah, that sounds like what I wrote or said.
That would be awesome if he came back, like looked at it, like, God, is that what I wrote? Like, oh, I don't even remember.
I should just text him and be like, Tony, quick query.
It was the end of the flight. I had popped a couple of vodkas. Like, I don't really remember what I wrote.
You can pop vodkas because they're little bottles.
Yeah, they're really not much. But, you know, if you take too many, you start writing gibberish.
You got to find that nice middle ground.
He did. I mean, obviously he did here. I love this bridge and this hook.
Same. Well, that's Bring Me Down.
Ugh. It didn't bring me down too much. I mean, I'm a little tired, but I think, you know, I'm ready to go. I'm going to go on a run, I think.
Nice. I'm going to probably make a YouTube video about Kanye.
So you're also on your way up. So we're doing good.
We are doing good, my friends.
Yeah.
Well, then, I guess next time we'll go over addiction and do we do addiction and skit two, or do we do addiction and then an episode on skit two, and then is it skit two and Diamonds from Sierra Leone OG? What's the combo?
I imagine that on all three episodes, which is addiction, then Diamonds from Sierra Leone OG, and then Diamonds from Sierra Leone remix, that we will talk about skit two in every single one of those episodes.
That makes sense.
And the rest of the album and all the songs on it.
Perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Well then, everyone, I think it's that time.
That's right. You know what to do. I don't even have to say it, but I will. Stay wavy.
Man, and keep it loopy.
They ask me, I tell them, raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol. For